This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. For Videotron subscribers out there, look for us on channel 173. That's where you can find AMI Audio from your TV. And Bell Alliance customers, channel 66 in Atlantic Canada. Visit AMI.ca/schedules for a list of channel locations in your area. I'm Kelly McDonald in London, Ontario, at the home studio here. Ramya Muthan at the home studio in Toronto.
Let's get to some food talk as we do every other week on Wednesdays with Mary Mammoliti.
Looking for quick and easy healthy recipes? Need that nudge to get back into the kitchen? Or simply looking for food inspiration? Join me, Mary Mammoliti, on Kelly & Company, where I will share recipes and cooking tips. Your new day of endless possibilities awaits.
Today, we are talking about, I feel like there's a little bit of something for everybody today, Mary, because we're talking about different kitchen secrets to make you think how you cook in the kitchen, a bit of hacks, a bit of secrets. But before that, I just wanted to point out that it's been a very busy day for you today, huh?
It has been. It has been a packed day.
Yeah, it started like super early in the morning, somewhere between 9 and 11 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, Now with Dave Brown.
Oh, yes. It was on Now with Dave Brown.
It was, yes. We were talking all things Kitchen Confession Podcast.
Quick plug for you, and we're going to get to know more about what the latest episode of Kitchen Confession, as well as Bits and Bytes, has to offer. So, shall we go jump right into it? What are some of the things that we can do in the kitchen to help us with two things, save time and save money? You have a few things you want to go over.
Okay, I do. And there's a lot to go over, so hopefully I can pack it all in. I want to talk about extending veggie freshness because there are so many different ways, but this is one of the simplest ways. Line the bottom of your refrigerator's crisper drawer with paper towel. The reason why is because that'll absorb any excess moisture, because the excess moisture is what causes the veggies to rot.
Okay.
So it's just a simple paper towel right at the bottom of your crisper drawer. Next, this one is life-changing. Am I hyping it up too much? No.
Well, why, man? Like you say, it makes a big deal, especially if someone's on the borderline of veggies or something like that. And you say, no, put some paper towel. They'll be more crispy. Oh, that's and if good, that's the game changer, that could be someone's health, Mayor. So no,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Overstated.
See,
I'm not
hyping it up too much. But then there's, wait, listen to this one. You don't want to waste your lemons.
Right.
You know, cutting them in half, you can dry them out. This one here blew my mind. And I said that I pronounced every single syllable. Because if you take a metal skewer and you puncture the fruit right through the middle.
Okay.
Then you squeeze it and you can squeeze out exactly how much you want. And then you can save the rest for later.
So good.
Right?
Especially if you roll out the lemon or lime beforehand, so all the juice is in there running already. Oh, nice.
Yep. It releases from those pieces and it's just so good. And then, you know, you can just store that. It doesn't dry out and it's ready for your next use.
Okay.
This just keeps on getting better by the minute. Now we're going to fresh herbs. How to keep them fresh. Now, there's so many different ways, but this one, I love it, is because all you do is you take your fresh herbs, wash them, give them a good dry, like just pat them down with some paper towel, put them in a plastic bag, a resealable plastic bag, and then pop them into the freezer. This way, when you need them, it's easier to chop, but you don't even need any knife with these.
Right.
Because you could just take them out of the freezer, mash it up, squeeze the bag up.
You break them.
And you've already chopped it up. And then once they hit the pan, they defrost in a second.
Wow, that's amazing. Good. And Mary stands there outside the freezer, me have strength, and breaks them all. Right?
I love it. I love it. Get my frustration out.
Mayor, I like your next one because I like the way this you've put this down for us to kind of some of the in your notes here. Make mushrooms slime-free.
Slime-free.
That's a great description
like
of
that
it.
One, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's happened to all of us, and it happens. But to prevent that, again, get that paper towel and just wrap your mushrooms around in paper towel. That will help it and prevent it from going slimy.
I mean, so again, what I'm hearing is,
yes, It'll prevent them from going slimy, but if you keep them in your refrigerator for a couple of weeks, I can't help you there.
Okay, yeah, well.
Well, that's because they grow into something else. But
ew.
And it's a little more than just leaving the paper towel in the bottom when it comes to that one, Rum. To get
no,
slime.
It is. And yeah. I was going to say, what I'm hearing is don't just, you know, open up your produce in whatever container it comes with. Use some of it and then leave it in there for the rest of God knows how much time until you have to throw them out because they're too slimy now.
Right. Or worse. A lot of people do that. A lot of people do. What I'm suggesting is get a bowl, line it with some paper towel, put your mushrooms in there, top it with some paper towel, back in the refrigerator.
Okay. Okay, I like it. All right, what else?
Okay, next. Keep your honey clear. So, you know when your honey crystallizes or it becomes a little cloudier, it's harder to scoop out?
Yep.
Microwave it on medium heat in 30-second increments. Say that three times fast.
Wow.
And it makes the honey clear again. So, restores it back to its original state.
And if you do it on high or something, if it's set, that makes things bubble and it can be
and
real messy.
And, yeah, and pour over, and then it's a whole different ball game.
Yep.
But if we do it in 30-second increments, we're okay.
So that's the thing, folks. Don't forget medium, because then you'll be cussing Mary out and saying she gave you bad advice on the show.
Exactly. I'm going to get all this hate mail. I never do. You guys are awesome.
No. Never,
ever. Next. This one, I know many people have heard this, but I'd like to share this again over and over because it's so important. It's so difficult to tell how fresh your eggs are.
Right.
So you want to make sure you have fresh eggs. You're uncertain. Get a glass and then just pop them into the glass gently. Fill it with water. And if it floats, the bad ones will float. The fresh ones will sink to the bottom. Okay. And that's how you can tell.
Yeah, the reminder's good because sometimes you mix it up.
You do, for sure. The glass half full, the glass half empty.
Right now,
the floating
eggs have been floating. I'm good.
That's right.
Oh, wait a minute.
6 weeks to spring left, or what? Floating egg.
Floating egg.
This next one's a good trick too. It's like the egg one, where you kind of hear about it. Maybe you don't utilize it enough.
I know a lot of people don't utilize this step enough. So, protect brown sugar from hardening. Keep the brown sugar in your freezer. It'll actually stop it from hardening. So that's a step that many people don't use. Or
and it almost sounds reverse what you would do, right?
Right, you're
putting,
exactly.
Like we put everything else in the freezer to freeze up. Here, no, put your sugar in there. It'll keep it from you know, getting hard.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But if your sugar's already past that state and it's hardened, this is where you could soften it by sealing it in a bag with like a slice of fresh bread or even an apple. Or again, our handy microwave on high for 30 seconds. Don't go more than that because then we have another, again, totally different situation.
On medium.
On medium. Oh, you can do it on high.
Okay. This one you can. Okay. Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Okay. We hear high and everyone's just, oh, I don't think so.
Take notes, Kels.
Yeah. I'm not going to mess around like that. Just stick to medium on all these devices. Okay. Mayor, help us rethink how we cook. We were talking about this as one of the things you were bringing on today. What tips do you have in store for us on that?
Okay. You know, those hot, humid days and you've got your salt shaker out, you're having a barbecue and the salt hardens. So how to avoid that from happening? Put some rice in your salt shaker. It actually stops the salt from hardening. The rice absorbs all that condensation and it avoids that causing up, or it doesn't clump up. So that's a good one. Keep rice in your salt shaker, especially if you're taking it out. And by the looks of it, sounds like we're all going to be spending a lot of time in our backyards or our neighbor's backyard. No, not even that. Never mind. I take that back, guys.
So if you have a backyard, you'll spend a lot of time in it.
Right. Right. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Over-salted your soup or stew. This has happened to all of us, and there's nothing more frustrating than that, than over-salting a soup or a stew. Try adding wedges of either of raw potato or apple. It absorbs the salt, so all you want to do is just add it in, simmer it for 10 minutes or so, and then remove the wedges. If your soup is still too salty, you can do a couple of things. You can sprinkle in a little spoonful of sugar, which I haven't done because I use this other option, but you can do that. It's available. You know, it'll help. Or you can use a dash of apple cider vinegar. That may do the trick. It's worked for me in the past, so that does help. Or You can also just dilute it with a bit of water or key low sodium broth, because if not, you're adding that sodium back in if you get the regular.
Yeah. So South Indian cuisine, we do have a rule of thumb, especially when I first started making curries and stuff. My mom was like, always have some kind of milk on hand, coconut milk or regular milk or cream if you're really desperate, but something on hand to toss in at the end because of all the flavor. Like, it's a very intense flavor palette, right?
Yes.
So to kind of utilize it or mild it out a bit, you're going to want to toss in some of that stuff. But I don't think it works for over-salting.
Can't use and evaporated soap? Soap.
Milk? No. You mean the condensed milk?
Condensed,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think what you're talking about, it works beautifully. Coconut milk works beautifully for that. For actually, it just tones down the flavors and makes it more unison. So when you kind of take it in, it goes evenly on your palate, which works beautifully as well. But I haven't tried that for over-salting, to be honest.
I haven't. It doesn't work. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. When you said it's happened to everybody, I was like, yeah, the other day when I added too much salt. So try some of this stuff that Mary's suggesting.
Don't put the milk.
And I just think if Ramya added too much, it must have been really salty. Like, have been like, you know, that stuff you could put to preserve. Let's keep this meat over the winter.
Do you love salting your food?
I love salt. Everything salt. Salt and sugar.
Kelly, what about you?
No, I used to. I mean, I like it, but I don't. I'm very careful. I use garlic instead of salt. So people may, and that helps keep people 6 feet away.
Yeah.
But it's that, you know, knowing I can't, because I do. I used to be ridiculous. My mother used to, like, your fries are white caps. And she'd get mad because, what are you doing salting it before you taste it? I know it's going to need it, Mom. It's
exactly.
So that's I cut that out years ago because I kept hearing my mother's head, no matter where I was, I kept hearing her in my head running off at me. So, but I do enjoy it. But garlic is a very nice substitute. Mayor.
It is. Yeah. I love that. And for me, high blood pressure just told me you can't have salt.
Yeah. I was just going to say, yeah.
I always undersalt. Do I have time for a couple more?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ice cubes from coffee. Have you guys ever tried this? It is so good, especially in the summer. You pour freshly brewed coffee into your ice cube trays. But you want to keep it a little cool. You don't want to pour really hot coffee in there.
No.
Just cool it down, pour it into your ice cube trays, pop it into the freezer, freeze it up. And then when you want to have like a cold iced latte, pour some milk in a glass, pop some of those ice cubes in. It is so good. It melts into the milk. It gets nice and cold. But I'm going to take it a step further. If you like it a little sweetened, before you freeze it, add some sugar or whatever sweetener you want to your coffee and then freeze it. So this way, when it melts in your milk, it's already pre-sweetened for you.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
Fix burnt milk.
Next hack.
Yeah. Fix burnt milk, definitely. So if you burn milk while heating it on the stove, add a pinch of salt. That'll temper that scorched smell and that taste.
Mm.
And then there's corn. Okay. You want to cut it. You like corn on the cob. You don't want to eat it on the cob. You want to cut off all the kernels. So stabilize it. Get yourself a bundt pan. And then put that corn on the cob smack in the center of the hole of that bundt pan. That'll stabilize it. And then take your knife and just cut along all the sides. And then the actual bundt pan will catch everything. So it doesn't go everywhere on your counter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then you can have that with your salt pork.
Yeah.
Let's do one more before we move to recipe. Can we do the ripening fruit? Because I thought this one was pretty cool.
Yes, ripen fruit quickly. So to ripen fruit, you want to do this overnight. Place the fruit in a paper bag, add an apple. Apples release ethylene gas, and that actually increases and speeds up the maturing process of other fruits.
Mm.
So give it a try. Overnight, put your apple in there with whatever fruit you want to ripen, and we'll see what happens in the morning.
That's nice. That's good. Oh, that's cool. Amer, do you have a recipe for us?
I do. Make yourself some mini desserts. So get a couple of wine mouth glasses or even mason jars, enough for one serving. And then what I want you to do is just take the mouth of that glass, get a store-bought pound cake, slice it up, and then use your glass to cut rounds. and cut a few of them. Because what we're going to do is we're going to layer it in the glass. So start with a layer of the, oh my gosh, a layer of the pound cake. It wasn't coming to me. Layer of the pound cake, top it with whipped cream, macerated berries. So what you can do for this, get overripe berries, mix it with sugar, and then toss a little bit of your favorite liqueur in there. Mix it up and let it sit for 30 minutes. While that's sitting, whip up some fresh whipped cream because it tastes so good. So you're going to need 3 cups of heavy cream, 2 teaspoons vanilla extract, 1/4 cup confectioner's sugar. Add the whipped cream to the bowl of a stand mixer or if you want a whisk, a hand mixer, and just whip that up until you get soft peaks. Add the vanilla, the confectioner's sugar. That's it. So just start layering in your glass and then just dig in. It'll last in your refrigerator for up to 2 days, covered with some plastic wrap.
It doesn't need to.
Mine wouldn't last in the fridge. Yeah, it would be gone the minute I assemble it.
Exactly. Even if it needed to chill, it wouldn't. Mary, before we go, tell us the latest on Kitchen Confession, that podcast, as well as Bits and Pipes.
All right. Kitchen Confession podcast. Publishing today, we chat with Isabella DePaz. She's the owner and the chief baker at the Cake Mama. And she talks about creating delicious vegan baked goods and some of her savory dishes as well. Plus, she wants to let us know, and we talk about if beer and wine, are they truly vegan? So she breaks that down for us. And we just get into that because she converted her business a few years back and turned her entire bakery to a vegan bakery. And she wanted to maintain it. It took her months to maintain that integrity of her pastries to get that light and fluffy, airy. She talks about making an aquafaba pavlova, which is very interesting because usually it's made with white egg.
Oh, interesting. Mary, this is going to be fascinating. Kitchen Confession podcast is out now. People can go and enjoy it on their favorite podcast platform. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Mary Mammoliti of KitchenConfession.com.
We'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen. And when we return, we'll wrap up the show and see what's coming up on Now with Dave Brown.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.